Breaking away from Amazon.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. For about 7 years now, Borders has been doing its online business through Amazon.com. But today, Borders goes out on its own with a new website. This ought to make things interesting for the sale of the company. Borders has put itself up for sale, and Barnes & Noble is apparently interested. Today, a trade delegation from Texas is headed to Cuba. Wait, something about that isn't quite right. Trade delegation, Cuba, Texas. Wait, don't we have a trade embargo with Cuba? Dan Gratch reports from our America's desk at WLRN.
Since 2000, U.S. agricultural and medical products have been exempted from the embargo. Over the past 7 years, Cuba has imported $2.7 billion worth of food from the U.S. Texas accounts for just 4% of that. Farmers, ranchers, and port representatives from the Lone Star State will make the five-day trip. They're scheduled to meet with Cuban agriculture officials and visit three farms to identify the island's food needs. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples organized the trip.
Obviously, the trip is based on food and not about politics, but establishing good trading relationships should be a cornerstone to have a dialogue about other issues in the future.
25 other states have sent their own trade delegations in recent years. The U.S. makes up just one-fifth of total food exports to Cuba, and U.S. farmers want a bigger piece of the pie. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Wall Street gets back to work today after a pretty bad run last week. The Dow was down almost 4%. In Asia today, stocks rebounding from yesterday's losses with gains of about 1%. European shares are mixed so far. The Dow is at 12,474 to start the week. The Nasdaq is at 2440. The S&P 500 at 1375. Oil is trading at $133 a barrel this morning. In this corner, weighing 46 kilograms, wearing something from her fashion model collection, the one, the only, Barbie. And in this corner, weighing in at 45 kilograms and looking dazzling in sequins, the challenger, the newcomer, Bratz. Today, the company that makes Barbie takes its rival to court. Stacey Vanek Smith tells us what's at stake.
Barbie's small and so petite.
Petite, maybe, but Barbie's been the 800-pound gorilla of the doll industry for about 50 years. The plastic princess is worth an estimated $1.25 billion.
Barbie was so unchallenged that it was considered impossible to take it on.
That's toy industry consultant Richard Gottlieb. He says the phenomenal success of Bratz, which debuted in 2001, was a major coup.
Move over, queen. We're on the throne.
But Mattel claims Bratz's creator was working for Mattel when he came up with the multi-ethnic belly-flashing rebel chicks. Original sketches of Bratz are being forensically tested to see when they were drawn. Why would Mattel go to all this trouble when Barbie sales are more than double Bratz? Again, Gottlieb.
Both Bratz and Barbie have been really struggling the last 2 years. If you're losing market share in a shrinking market, that's not good.
Barbie's already tried to take back its turf with Barbie Flavas. Sinking its fingernails into Bratz would put the rivalry to rest. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. And by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com.
In Beirut, the fighting has stopped for the moment. There's a new power-sharing agreement between Hezbollah militants and the new Lebanese government. You'd think real estate in a war-torn city like that would be dirt cheap. But actually, homes and condos are pretty darn expensive, and foreign investors have started to notice. Ben Gilbert reports from Beirut.
Just 2 weeks ago, Hezbollah militiamen fought street to street in this West Beirut neighborhood using machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades. After the smoke cleared, the windows were blown out of high-rises on some streets, but the offices of Coldwell Banker stood unscathed, and business quickly resumed. Combat is normally not a good sign for real estate, but broker Mario Mahana says Lebanese investors see this as a buying opportunity.
There is a French proverb that says you have to buy on the sound of the cannons and sell on the sound of the violins. And here they are applying this 100%. More things goes worse, they say this is an opportunity to buy.
Mohana volunteered to take me to an old Lebanese house near his office that he's renovating for a client. It cost around $2 million 1 year ago. It will be worth $6 million after renovation.
It's like 10 days ago there was fighting only about 3 blocks from here, and the price hasn't gone down at all.
Not at all. No, they didn't go down.
Without skipping a beat, Mohana resumes his tour.
You see, this is from here, the facade, the main facade, which is wonderful. This will become a garden.
Mohana is unshakably optimistic, but it seems for good reason. Real estate prices have risen by at least 30% here in the last few years. Some areas have seen prices double. Mohana isn't really worried about renewed fighting, but he does have limits.
Don't buy without a parking.
Without parking?
No parking, you will never be able to sell it again. This is a must now.
Mohana has done his homework. Throughout Lebanon's civil war, property prices rarely went down. Ashraf Kojok, the manager at Coldwell Banker's West Beirut office, says rich Gulf Arabs love Lebanon, as do the millions of Lebanese overseas who earn salaries in strong euros and buy Lebanese real estate in cheap dollars. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
If you'd like to take the Morning Report with you each morning, you can do it. Go on to our website, marketplace.org, and check out our podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.